It's here. It's finally here. The Japan Baseball Report first ever podcast.
You're listening to the Japan Baseball Report, your weekly English language podcast that provides news and notes related to Japanese baseball.
If you're new to Last Perhaps Baseball, welcome. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. If you've been with us before, you'll know the rodeo a little bit, and you'll have caught on to our style from our calls and insight of NPB games during the regular season and our live listening parties and commentary on YouTube. We feel the podcast is another way for us to be able to connect to our listeners to the Last Perhaps Baseball YouTube channel. We'll offer our analysis, speculate on rumors, and even have the odd guest once in a while on the podcast. Well, what can you expect from our podcast? Well, at first, we're going to bombard you with a number of podcasts as we gear up for the start the 2025 season. We'll be able to prep everyone with the off-season moves that the NPB teams have made. Our goal is to create content between 30 and 40 minutes in length, but I'm not sure if we can always do that. For those of you who do listen to us, we sometimes get a little bit long. Yeah, a little bit long-winded, but hopefully you'll be able to listen on your morning or afternoon commute, maybe even squeeze us in on a lunch break or play us while you're doing your daily chores, or even at the end of the day when you're having that afternoon tea or post-dinner cognac while you're unwinding and relaxing. So at first, what we're going to do is we're going to do some 2025 team previews, and we'll kick it off with the Pacific League and break down the different teams, and then we'll bounce over to the Central League and offer the same insight as we did in the Pacific. The exhibition season gets going later this month, and then once the games begin, our goal is to do podcasts a couple of times a week to keep everyone up to speed with the happenings in the NPB. Though the NPB is our number one focus, we'll be offering comments on the Japanese players and certainly on the players that are playing in Major League Baseball and keep everybody up to speed with them as well. Now that you know who we are and what we're about, and where we're going, we will take a quick peek at the Baluna Dome and the surrounding grounds of the Saitama Seibu Lions. When we return, we're going to break down each position, look at some depth at each spot, and talk a little bit about the comings and goings of the ball club that had the worst record in the NPB in 2024. But keep your heads up if you're a Lions fan. There's only one place to go but up, and we think that the rock bottom has already been hit. Going to a game in Takarazawa is a great experience. Taking the train to the game gets you right up to the gates of the stadium. The ball club is owned by Seibu, one of seven train companies that operate in the Tokyo area. At first glance, the stadium looks like a spaceship that has just landed, but it is indeed an open-air dome that was constructed on the original stadium site during the 97-98 seasons. The team office buildings are set up next to the stadium entrance, and adjacent to those offices are the Lions' first-rate indoor training facility. They do a pretty good job of marketing current players of the squad lining the wall of the training facility. If you're lucky enough to get there early, fans can get a glance of the indoor setup and even watch some of the players practice. Just past the facility is the ground where the second team competes on an outdoor playing surface, but the jewel is still the home of the Lions, the Baluna Dome. The Saitama Seibu Lions were the worst team in the 2024 NPB season. It is a far cry from the run the club had and from 1980 to 2008, where it captured 10 Japan Series titles. The proud franchise has found it difficult to keep its stars in recent years. Shogo Akiyama and Yusei Kikuchi went to the MLB, and when Akiyama returned to Japan, he signed with the Hiroshima Carp. Other stars like Hideto Asamura, Daichi Suzuki, Takayuki Kishi and Tomoya Mori all went on to star for other clubs. And the last one of high-profile stature was Otake Yamakawa. He was sent packing to the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks in disgrace after a high-profile assault that charges that were levied against him. And I have to say this, it was interesting when I was in Takarazawa, that particular year of 2023, once Yamakawa was removed from the roster. Now, we've been talking a little bit about a cancel culture in North America, and it certainly was going on in other parts of the world, including Japan. He had won the home run title in 2023 or 2022, that was. And in 2023, there wasn't a picture or a poster or anything that you could see of the player anywhere. They had basically washed their hands with him and erased him, and then, of course, sent him on to the Fukuoka Ball Club. So where do the Lions go from here? Well, they have an older stadium by North American standards. It was built in 1979, and it was renovated during the 1997 and 98 seasons where a dome was added to the facility. The club also features a top-notch training facility just adjacent to the stadium, as we showed you on our little video, and up on top where the second team plays its home games. So what is going on in Takorazawa? The Lions have been only in the playoffs four times in the past 11 years. We're going to take a deep dive into the 2025 roster and let you know our thoughts, where we think the Lions are now and where they're headed. So we're going to kick it off with the manager, as there has been a managerial change in Saitama for the Cebu Lions. At the helm this year is the new manager, Fumiya Nishiguchi. And the 52-year-old takes over at the helm for the 2025 season after Kaz Matsui and Hasanobu Watanabe led the way for the Lions in 2024. Nishiguchi was a Lions legend. He played 21 seasons in the NPB, all with Saitama. In that time, he, as a pitcher, he won 182 games, was the Sawamura Award winner in 97, and won two Japan Series titles. It's always interesting to see, especially in Major League Baseball, how many former pitchers become managers. And I had to do a little research on this. Of course, in Major League Baseball right now, Bud Black of the Colorado Rockies is the only one currently who's a pitcher. There have been others over times. I think of John Farrell most recently, who was with the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. But probably the greatest of the last 60 years has to be Tommy Lasorda of the Dodgers. He was a pitcher that became a manager and led the way. But in the NPB, surprisingly, of the 12 teams in the league, half of the managers at this current time going into the 2025 season have a pitching background. So that is kind of neat. But what I'm interested to see with Nishiguchi is what his offensive tendencies will be, how long he leaves his starters in the game, how he's going to manage the bullpen, and will he give new players a fresh look? So certainly when there's a managerial change, all of those factors will come into play, especially with players who were with the club last year. He may see the team and its resources in a little bit of a different light. Our first look at the Lions will be on the offensive side, and we are going to start from behind the plate. But before we do that, we're just going to take a quick little time out. We'll come back in just a couple of moments with all of our reports on the side of the Cebu Lions. You are listening to the Japan Baseball Report, brought to you by Last Raps Baseball. If you are into the NPB, be sure to join us for our listening parties and live English commentary on the Last Raps Baseball YouTube channel beginning March 28th, 2025. If you're just here for the podcast, it can be found on YouTube and wherever you download your podcasts. Well, as we begin our look at the Lions offensively, their catchers, they're going to return three players from last year's squad. But I want to talk a little bit about the last few years. During the 2022 season, it was noticeable how important that Tomoya Mori was to the Lions. And Tomoya Mori, for those of you who don't know, he is now on making his third season starting this year with the Oryx Buffaloes. And Mori, it was alleged that he had broken his hand in the 2022 season, and there was rumors floating around that he either did it out of frustration by punching a helmet or punching a wall. And from his absence, the Lions had some extreme difficulty controlling the running game and lost a very important piece at the top of their batting order. And then after Mori left after the 2022 season, the Lions really haven't replaced the production on the offensive side that their former star had given them. So who are they counting on in 2025? As we said, they've got three catchers that they'll be leaning on this year. One is Yuta Koga. And Koga literally played the lion's share of the games, no pun intended, last year. He's going to be 25 years old. Koga, not known for his offense, batted .228. He had three homers, 12 runs batted in, and 246 at-bats. He was second on the team with 13 sacrifice bunts. And he did play steady defense. And so one of the things that a lot of managers will look for and try to do, they'll always give up offense if you can have a solid catcher that can shut down the running game. And that's exactly what Yuta Koga has been leaned on to be able to do. The other one who was his backup is Senesuge, who's going to be 28 years old this year. He was in limited duty last year. He appeared in 42 games and only had 45 plate appearances. He has some limited offensive skill, but certainly that is, for him, the ability to be able to be the stopgap. So I would think that the Lions over the next season or two will be looking to possibly or potentially get themselves another backstop behind the plate there that can literally take over for them. And then the last one is Jinjiro Sumitani. He is back for his 20th season in NPB. He's 37 years old. And Sumitani was originally drafted by the Lions. He played 13 seasons in Saitama before heading to the Giants. And then he ended up with the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles. And he was brought back as a stable pony for the young catchers in order to help them be able to develop. So he's there as a bit of a post, but not in a mean way post. He's sort of stabilizing those other two catchers. Well, that's behind the plate. We're going to move over to first base and take a look at what they have now. And so the big offseason acquisition is that of Leandro Cedeno. And we'll look at the depth chart there. We've got Cedeno, Daiji Nomura, and Takeyoshi Yamamura, 1, 2, and 3. But we'll talk a little bit about last year, as 2024 was a revolving door for the Lions. It was expected that former Major League All-Star Jesus Aguiar would hold down the position, but that really only lasted about 25 games. He did 2 home runs at 113 at-bats, batted 204, and struck out 31 times. Not good enough, and was pushed aside fairly early. And I often talk about that during our streams, is that there's a lot of players that play in Japan, and when an import player is brought in, whether it's in Japan or if you watch the winter leagues down in Venezuela or anywhere in Latin America, Mexico or the Dominican or Puerto Rico, when import players are brought in, they're given a very short leash in which they have to produce, because they have to be better than what the players are that they already have. And if they're not playing better than what the players that are there that they already have, then they get pushed aside and basically jettisoned. And then they will play the Japanese player, and rightfully so in a lot of ways. And so Aguiar, as we said, who was an all-star once in his career, just really never got it going. And next thing you know, he was aside. It was not a great signing by Saitama. And in fact, all of their signings last year were on the offensive side, rather disastrous in terms of an international standpoint. The other first baseman is Daiji Nomura. Nomura, he played the most games last year for the Saitama Cebu Lions. He played 41. And he's going to be 24 years old this year. And to be frank, he hasn't shown enough pop in the stick to maintain that position. Nomura, being that he is in a position on the corners where you've got to produce some offense, you've got to be able to slug, you've got to be able to drive the ball, you got to be able to have some extra base power, you've got to be able to drive in runs. Came over in the middle of the year from Fukuoka last year, and one would think he'll still get some chances to see if he can hold down the position or at least be used in other spots. He did hit 5 homers last year. He struck out 44 times in 178 at-bats. And so that is probably a little bit more than they would care to see. The other first baseman is Takeyoshi Yamamura. He's 23 years old. He'll be 23 years old toward the end of the season. He appeared in 28 games last year at the position, and he had just over 200 at-bats. But again, much like Daiji Nomura, not a lot of pop. He only had a couple of home runs. So what I do expect is the newcomer, Leandro Cedeno, to give Everett opportunity to come in and hold down the position. In fact, last year with the Oryx Buffaloes, Cedeno was pretty solid. He had 2 seasons with the Buffaloes, and this will be his first with the Lions. And one would think he's going to get a chance to play every day. And when he was playing every day for the Buffaloes, he wasn't bad, but he was sharing some time with Yuma Tongu and Ryo Oda in the Buffalo lineup, and he was still able to drill 15 home runs. Defensively, he's adequate. He didn't make an error in 300 chances in the field, but I'd have to say that he doesn't exactly have the most range at that position, but it is pretty decent still for a big man, and he's young enough, as he's only entering his 26th year. He'll arguably probably just starting to enter his prime. He's going to get a lot of opportunity for the Saitama Cebu Lions this year here, probably at first base and DH. As we move over to the second base position, it was all about Shuta Tonosaki last year as Tonosaki appeared in 124 of the 143 games. He's 32 years old and he's starting to enter the back end of his prime. And I have a little concern about Tonosaki. Keep an eye on his production. His batting average was down nearly 30 points from 2023 to 2024. His power numbers were down and his stolen bases were down significantly. He went from 26 to 11. And if I wanted to make a comparison, kind of reminds me of the production of Chiba Lotte Marine second baseman Shogo Nakamura, who has now moved over to third base. His production after he hit the 30 mark in age had started to decline. And I would be very interested to see what Tonosaki does this year, if he can maintain his solid play or solid offensive play, or if last year was just happened to be a blip in the part of his career. But we will find out here soon enough. The other players at second base is Natsu Takazawa and Keisuke Nakata. Takazawa is a 21-year-old, and keep an eye on his performance and production. He's one of the shortest players in all of Japanese baseball. He stands at 5'4", which is 1 inch shorter than Jose Altuve of the Houston Astros. So I often say when you lack size, you better have some elite and exceptional speed. And for Takazawa, he only stole three bases in the 2024 season. The other newcomer is Keisuke Nakata, and we'll talk about him also at shortstop. He's 25 years old. He was an offseason acquisition from the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks. He only has had three hits and 14 NPB career at-bats. So I guess the question is has he been brought in for insurance purposes? And if that is the case, will he be able to stabilize the infield in the event that Tonosaki or Sosuke Genda, the incumbent shortstop, end up going down hurt at some point this year, and they need somebody with some extended playing time, that might end up going to Nakata. Well, that's the second base position. As we move over to shortstop, we'll kick it off with the aforementioned Sosuke Genda. Genda is 32 years old. He is the captain of the Lions, and he and Tonosaki have been a keystone partnership for the last few years. But he's had some off-season issues that have kind of crept into the media. It's been reported. Well, first off, he's married to a former girl band member and they have a child together. But apparently in the offseason, it has been pointed at that he has had an affair over the past year with a 20-something-year-old. But according to Lions team officials, there will be no discipline as they consider this to be a family matter. And we often say when players are on the field, that is one thing. Their off-field behavior, if it comes onto the field, could be a potential problem. And they were saying that it was also going on during the Premier 12 tournament at the end of last season when the Team Japan lost in the final to Chinese Taipei, that some of these events were being reported, which is unfortunate because Genda is a pretty solid player. He played in all 143 games last year, hit 264, led the team with 20 sacrifice bunts, doesn't have much power, and he only stole 12 bases. And that's a bit of a far cry. When he broke into the NPB, he stole 30 bases in back-to-back-to-back seasons three times early in his career. But Sosuke Genda, the captain, also the national team shortstop, expect that he is going to get the opportunity to get the lion's share of the job there at shortstop as well. The other players, Ryosuke Kodama and Keisuke Nakata, we talked a little bit about Nakata earlier. But Kodama is 26 years old this year. He's played parts of two seasons with the Lions. He's another small player in stature, as he only stands 5'5". And then finally, we did talk about Nakata, and being that he is probably going to be there for insurance purposes. But one would have to think, as long as Genda is healthy, he is going to be the everyday shortstop for the Saitama Cebu Lions. We'll take one more stop across the infield, and then we're going to take ourselves a little break. We go over to third base. At third base, we have three options, but I somehow think it may only be two options, or possibly, realistically, only one option. And the one option is Ryusei Sato. They have Natsu Takazawa and Tyler Nevin. I'll get to Nevin in a minute, because Nevin is actually considered to be an outfielder, so at least that's how they're reporting it as, but he did play most of his games at third base in Major League Baseball. So Ryusei Sato, the 28-year-old, or the soon-to-be 28-year-old, started his career with the Lions, and he was traded to the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters but ended up returning back to the Lions in 2023. And some felt that the trade was for disciplinary reasons. Sato had picked up a speeding ticket while in Korea as he was driving near a golf course nearly 60 kilometers per hour over the posted speed limit. And so some of the things that we were seeing come out of the Lions camp, obviously with the Genda issue, Sato having some off-field issues. We mentioned earlier at the top of the stream about Otake Yamakawa being jettisoned for his off-field behavior. Tomoya Mori, of course, we alluded to that it was, you know, reported that he had broke his hand out of probably frustration punching a wall or a helmet. So you have three, four of your core players not being able to be disciplined and stay healthy. And that certainly hurts the ball club more than anything else. Sato did play the majority of the games at third base for the Lions last year, 63 in total. But to be fair, his offensive production wasn't necessarily that great either. So that position is one where you need to have some offense. You need to have some players who can drive in runs. And so that position maybe is one that's still up in the air moving into the season. So we'll see how Sato plays out. The other option is Natsu Takazawa, as Takazawa appeared in 45 games at third base. As we mentioned, he's only 5'4". He did not post any significant offensive numbers for a position that requires a lot of offense. So the last one that is on our list is Tyler Nevin. And as I mentioned just a couple moments ago, they have listed him that he is an outfielder, and he has played outfield in his career. He played parts of four seasons at the MLB level with Baltimore, Oakland, and Detroit. He had 12 homers in 511 career MLB at-bats, and he is the son of former Angels manager, Golden Spike winner, Phil Nevin, who had a career with Houston and Detroit and among other teams. Anyways, Tyler, his son, most of the games that he played were at the major league level were at third base. As we mentioned, the Lions have welcomed him as an outfielder, but keep your eyes peeled there. If it doesn't work out in the outfield or if third base is a production problem, I wouldn't bat an eye that Nevin will have his infielder's glove with him ready to go. Well, that is where we stand here through the infield. We'll come back and look at the outfield, and then we'll do the pitchers. So hopefully you guys are enjoying the podcast and our insight. We'll be back in just a couple moments. We appreciate you guys for hanging in here with us. We'll be right back after this. Are you into slow motion video of hitting and pitching mechanics? Last Rouse Baseball's YouTube channel has been updating our database. During the 2025 season, we'll be uploading more video with our thoughts and analysis. If you're just here for the podcast, you're listening to the Japan Baseball Report found on the Last Rouse Baseball YouTube channel, wherever you download your podcasts. Welcome back, everybody. We're cruising over to the outfield, and we'll take a look at what is shaping up for the Lions at that position. The five that we have listed out, it's Manaya Nishikawa, Junichiro Kishi, Shinya Hasegawa, Takeyuki Haruma, and Tyler Nevin. There's also a couple of others that we will mention toward the back end. The three players that played the most in 2024, well, we'll kick it off with Manaya Nishikawa. Nishikawa played 100 games, and at this point in time, we'd have to ask, is he a prospect or is he a suspect? He's now 25 years old, and by baseball standards, 25 is the age where a lot of people will say you are what you are or what you've been, and we're not sure if you're going to get any better than where you're at. And so there's not enough power. Last year, he only hit 7 home runs. Not enough stolen bases. He only had 9. And when you throw in a .227 batting average, there's not a whole lot going on there. And so Nishikawa, he's either got to put the car in gear or he's going to be pushed away and they're going to start looking at some other players. But those statements also can parallel to that of Junichiro Kishi. Kishi played in 91 games last year and he's 28 years old. It's similar to Nishikawa. He doesn't have enough power either. He had 6 bombs and he only stole 4 bases. And he hit .216. So both of those players, Nishikawa and Kishi, have to be more productive in the outfield if they're going to get to see that kind of playing time. And then that brings up the next one in Shinya Hasegawa. Hasegawa, 22 years old, also light in the power department. He only had 2 last year, but he did steal 10 bags. So that is worth keeping note of. The problem with Hasegawa is he hit .183, and so he'll have to show that he can make some adjustments And he's got a little bit more time than those others, as he is only 22 years old. So keep your eye on him and how he plays out this year. The other one, the fourth one last year, who played 60 games, was Takuya Haruma. Haruma's 23 years old. He hit one homer and stole three bases. Again, not a lot of production from somebody who's getting some playing time, although his playing time wasn't because of starts. It was back-end games coming in defensive purposes. Yuji Kaneko, one player that we don't have up on the board for you, is he played in 35 games, but he called it quits after 12 seasons, all with the Lions last year. And as we mentioned earlier, Tyler Nevin will be in that outfield mix. So again, kind of curious to see how that will be, especially if he is going to get an opportunity maybe to come back in the infield if there's some struggles. But one of the offseason acquisitions was Taiga Hirasawa, who joins the Lions from Chiba. Taiga, he played parts of six seasons at the NPB level with the Marines. He's a career 190 hitter with 10 homers and 710 at-bats. He's also stole 13 bases. And the question I have with Hirasawa is this another player that they add to the clutter, or are they just spreading dust around? Sometimes when you get new managers or new people that come in, they might see something that maybe they can make a few tweaks and be able to help that player be able to produce something in the future. Well, that is the outfield. We're going to take another little break here, and we'll come back and we'll go through the starting pitchers before we do the bullpen. So hang tight, everybody. We appreciate you guys for jumping in here with us tonight with Last Wraps Baseball. You are listening to the Japan Baseball Report, brought to you by Last Wraps Baseball. If you are into the NPB, be sure to join us for our listening parties and live English commentary on the Last Wraps Baseball YouTube channel beginning March 28th, 2025. If you're just here for the podcast, it can be found on YouTube and wherever you download your podcasts. Welcome back, everybody. We have, at least in our minds, there's about nine starting pitchers that we want to look at. For those of you who do follow the Japanese league tightly, most people would know that the Japan league uses a six-man rotation. They don't play on Mondays typically, and they play Tuesday to Sunday. Everybody gets one start per week, but we'll have to wait and see how they play this one out. It is going to be, we've got nine that are listed, and I think we'll begin with our top three, which is Tetsuya Mai, Chihiro Sumita, and Natsuki Takuchi. Mai is considered, I have to say, he's got to be considered the ace of the staff, although I have to say, watching Sumita pitch in the tournament in Taiwan, that Premier 12, and in Japan, Sumita really impressed me with his time with the national team. But I got a chance to see Mai pitch last year live when I was at the Baluna Dome when they played the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters. He went head-to-head with Drew Verhagen late August. And he was sitting at 97 miles an hour on the gun. And that would have been late in the seventh inning. Like, he was into the seventh inning and he was still sitting at 97. Pretty impressive. He's not a big guy. He reminds me in some ways of Yoshinobu Yamamoto. A little bit older. He's 27 years old and he's expected to shoulder the load for the Lions again this year. He was 10-8 last year with an ERA of 2.34. And he had 187 strikeouts and 173 and a third innings. Anytime you can have your starter striking out more than one per inning, you know that you've got yourself a power arm there. And he's followed up by Chihiro Sumita. Sumita, he was coming out of the bullpen in that Premier 12 tournament. He's going to be 25 years old this season. Last year, he was 9-10, and he logged a team-leading 179 and a third innings pitched with 154 strikeouts. As I said, it really turned my head the way that he pitched. I didn't see him start, but I saw him come out of the bullpen and pitch multiple innings, and boy, did he look good. And certainly that was one thing that the Lions last year didn't have problems with, and that was their pitching. Their pitching actually was really, really good. It's their offense that has been the Achilles heel for the ball club. And then we look at Natsuki Takuchi, who will be 23 years old this season. As a 22-year-old, he was 10-6 with an ERA of 2.17 in 21 games, and he had 145 innings pitched. So if you look at those three pitchers, that's a pretty good 1-2-3 punch that they can deliver to the opposition. The next three starters, I'd hate to say they're question marks because they didn't really have what I'd call great seasons last year. And Kota Takahashi, really disappointing. Kota Takahashi was 0-11 last year, and after the 2023 season, he had publicly expressed his desire to play in Major League Baseball, and he went to the Saitama Seibu Lions asking to be posted. And the Lions refused to post him. They said, "We're not posting you. You got to play out your contract," and so on and so forth. And Takahashi had a pretty solid 2023 year as the team declined to post him. And I wonder if he came in not in the right frame of mind in 2024. Didn't win a game, 0-11. This is, again, speculation on my part. And was he sulking early on for the team's decision not to post him? Because realistically, he had a brutal season. He did not live up to the standards, especially where he had almost like ace capability the year before. He was certainly that type of pitcher. The next one on our list is Kaimataira. And Kaimataira was coming off a series of injuries. He was a starter the year before in 2023. Had a pretty good season. And they had moved him back to the bullpen. And to be honest, that might be the better spot for Taira. He stands only about 5'9". And he's pitched really well in relief when he has been there in the past. And I'm not so sure if Taira is maybe cut out to be a starter. He may want to be a starter, but he may be better served coming out of the Lions bullpen and solidifying that if some of the others can step up along the way. The other pitcher that I was thinking about is Bo Takahashi, the Brazilian-born player with the Japanese last name, pitched fairly well as a starter despite having a 2-9 record. He'd logged 81 and a third innings, and the record shouldn't be deceiving or shouldn't deceive how well he pitched. I'll be curious to see if he's going to get another opportunity to log some innings as a starter this year. Well, when we look at the other opportunity or the other ones who could be starting, we'll start at the top of the list here with Wataru Matsumoto. He's 28 years old. Also had a poor record last year. He was 1-9. And his walk rate was at 3.9 per nine innings pitched, almost 4 walks per nine. I got a chance to see Matsumoto pitch last year as well, and he did not do very well. He walked the yard, had difficulty commanding his pitches. I actually saw him in back-to-back years. I also saw him pitch in Kobe against the Oryx Buffaloes in 2023, and it was kind of the same song. But in fairness, he can eat up innings, and if he can have a better command of his pitches and improve his pitch efficiency, then maybe that changes how they will use Matsumoto. Maybe a long reliever would be more probably something better suited for, but we'll have to wait and see. The next up on our list is Yotaro Watanabe. And Watanabe is only 24 years old. He was 3-4 in the 2024 season with a 2.67 ERA. He had worked 87 and two-thirds innings and had 50 strikeouts. He's young enough. He is also in that core. A lot of young pitchers for the Lions. And the last one on our list there is Manato Aoyama. He's a 24-year-old. And the question is, will he get an expanded opportunity in 2025? There were only 6 complete games for the Lions as a team last year, and he had one of them, including a complete game shutout. So we'll have to see what the new manager decides what he's going to do with Aoyama. And then the last one who is not on the list would be Yotaro Watanabe. Is Shinya Sagai. Shinya Sagai, 21 years old. He had 8 appearances and 24 innings pitched. And what are the long-term plans for him, being that he's very young? We'll have to wait and see if he's going to get an opportunity. Well, that is the starting pitchers. We're going to come back in just a couple moments with the bullpen. So if you've stuck around with us for this long, we appreciate you for being here. Hang tight. We'll be right back after this.
The Japan Baseball Report has been brought to you by Last Raps Baseball. If you would like to reach us with questions or comments, our email address is info@lastrapsbaseball.com. We'll respond to as many comments and questions in the upcoming episodes that we can. We appreciate your listenership and look forward to seeing you at one of our live stream listening parties this season.
Well, we're going to bounce over to the bullpen as it is time to look at what they have to offer. But before we get into what they currently have, I got to say the biggest loss is going to be that of closer Albert Abreu. If you build your team from the closer back, as some general managers attest to, Abreu had all of the Lions' 28 saves in 2024. And who's going to step into that role? Well, honestly, does it really matter? I'm not so sure that That is an important part for the Lions. They're going to have to be able to score some runs offensively to put their pitchers in a position to win. And until they can put the runs on the board, it may not matter who closes for those Lions. Abreu appeared in 52 games last year, was solid with that 2-5 record, 2.39 ERA. He didn't have overpowering stuff as he struck out 33 batters in 49 innings pitched. But as we said, he has signed a deal with the Cincinnati Reds, minor league deal, as he will report or is reported to spring training with them. He's taking his act back to North America. But if we take a deep dive into the pen, the other thing that is going to be of interest too is even though some of these relievers put up some pretty solid numbers, they weren't all in high leverage situations. So I think that the manager is going to have to find out who those high leverage arms are going to be when he turns the ball over to the bullpen. And so the first one on our list is Shinsuke Hada, and he is an emerging talent in the Lions pen. And he showcased that a bit last season, despite limited appearances. He has a plus fastball combined with a deceptive changeup, and that has left hitters often guessing. He's added much needed depth to the pitching staff. So we'll see what happens if he gets more innings this year. Could he become a reliable late inning reliever for the ball club? Next one on our list is Hiroshi Kino, 27 years old. He was an important piece of the Lions bullpen. He has a plus fastball and sharp breaking pitches. Kino is uses those as a reliable out pitch. He had 15 strikeouts at 18 innings pitched last year, and he's expected to play an increasingly vital role in the team's relief efforts this year. And then the last one is Yuta Nakamura, one of the more elder statesmen of the bullpen. He's going to be 29 years old this year. He appeared in 27 games, pitched 32 innings, and struck out 17 and walked 12. And we'll have to see how his role will be defined by the new manager as well. The other parts of the pen, Shinsuke Sato. Sato, 25 years old this season. He appeared in 45 games, working 37 and a third innings. He was 2-1 last year, and he had a whip below one. So Sato had produced some pretty solid stat lines for the Lions. Another one was Ichiro Tamura. He would be one of the oldest, much like Nakamura, in the pen. He's 30 years old, and he was 1-0 with a 1.82 ERA in 28 games. He worked 29 and two-thirds innings. He struck out 24 and walked 11. And then the last one is Taiga Ueda. The youngster is going to be 23 this season. He worked 23 and a third innings last year and had in 17 outings. So we'll see if his role gets to be expanded or not. Well, the other ones that we're going to look at who are new to the bullpen role, at least with the Lions, are going to be Trey Wendker, Emmanuel Rodriguez, and Yuta Kuroki. Wingenter, he was a towering presence on the mound. He is 6'7". He's got a power arm. He had bounced around a little bit in Major League Baseball. He had spent some time with the Detroit Tigers, the San Diego Padres, and other teams. So high-velocity fastball that can hit into the upper 90s. And he's got a sharp breaking slider. He has the tools to be a dominant late-inning reliever, so we'll keep an eye if they're going to use him as the closer, if they'll use him as a 7th or 8th inning arm. His experience in those high-pressure situations and ability to strike out batters will be valuable for the Lions as they look to shore up their bullpen in the absence of Abreu. So that is Wingenter. Manuel Rodriguez, a little bit of an interesting story as well. And we're not really sure what he's going to end up being. Will they use him as a starter? Will they keep him in the bullpen? Ramirez provides the team with much-needed flexibility. He has done both. And in particular, he began his career with the Padres. He also spent time with the Braves, Yankees, Marlins, and Blue Jay organizations. Made his debut with the Marlins. And so he has ability to strike out batters as well. So we'll see if they decide they're going to use him in the back end of the pen or if that would be something they could roll him out into the starting role depending on how their other pitchers do. So keep an eye on that developing situation. And then the last one is Yuta Kuroki. And Yuta Kuroki, how is he going to do this season? Well, he's got a fastball that's been clocked up at 95 miles an hour and also a devastating slider. And so they know that he is fairly calm under pressure, young fella. He has the potential to become a cornerstone for the Lions pitching staff, certainly out of the pen. as development here will be crucial if they're going to start making their way up the standings. So that is the bullpen and what we think and where they're at. So keep your eyes peeled on that. That'll be something that they'll have to sort out early. And as we said, the manager will have to make his decisions on how he uses it. Will he leave his starters in too long? Does he go to the pen too early? We'll have to get a feel for how he manages his group. Well, we'll be back in just a couple moments to close this off. We'll give you our final thoughts, our predictions, and then we'll call it a night here with the Saitama Cebu Lions. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you into slow motion video of hitting and pitching mechanics? Last Rouse Baseball's YouTube channel has been updating our database. During the 2025 season, we'll be uploading more video with our thoughts and analysis. If you're just here for the podcast, you're listening to the Japan Baseball Report found on the Last Rouse Baseball YouTube channel and wherever you download your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody, and it's time for our predictions here for Saitama. They finished last in the 2024 season, and we're predicting they are going to finish last again in the 2025 season. No change there. But a team last year that was at early thoughts, they were in the month of June and July, there was worries that they were going to lose 100 games. They ended up turning it around in the month of August and September. I have to say, when I saw them play in August last year, I saw them play three times, twice at home and once in Chiba, and they took two of the three games that I went to. I'd have to say that the Lions, at least in my opinion, certainly with their pitching, I think they're going to reach 60 wins this year, but I don't think that's good enough to get them out of the cellar. I think they're still going to be behind the Toku Racket and Golden Eagles, Chiba, and certainly, obviously, the Kaidonpon Ham Fighters have flexed their muscle, turned their group around, as it looks like they're going to be around for a while with Fukuoka. So we'll see how that plays out. Pitching will be a bright spot for the Lions, as they have a number of young arms. The average age of the pitching staff was less than 27 years old last year, so one of the younger staffs. And I think with those arms and with what they can do, if they can get a little bit of offense, that could change the amount of wins going plus 11. It's a big jump, but I think they would be able to do it with a little bit more offense or consistent offense than what they had in the 2024 season. Just some upcoming notes. We're going to be adding another podcast coming up over the next week or so. We have to get some of these done because the season is just around the corner, but we are going to have live listening parties kicking off next week. When the World Baseball Qualifiers or World Baseball Classic Qualifiers get going in Chinese Taipei or in Taiwan, Chinese Taipei is the host. And then in early March, when the second round of qualifiers get going in Arizona, we'll call some of those ones as well. We won't do the whole tournament. We should be able to get four games in each one. I think there's seven games in total. And then the MLB action gets going in mid-March when the Dodgers and the Cubs get going in Japan. Try to get on the call for those ones. And then there's NPB exhibition baseball that will get going in early March. And we'll be on the calls for some of those as well. Well, we hope you enjoyed the first version of the Japan Baseball Report. And this is the deep dive with the Saitama Cebu Lions. If you guys have those questions, as we said, go check out, send us the email or leave a comment in the comments section. If you're watching this and listening to this on YouTube, once again, it's been Last Rouse Baseball and the Japan Baseball Report. Hope you all have a great day, and we will see you guys again soon.